you today. I'm just want you to understand the 2021-2022 Lottie Moon Christmas offering season totals came in recently. Don't have a clue why, but it's from September to September. I didn't know that growing up. I thought it happened, they counted that after this, you know. So anyhow, I want you to understand, when you live on the other side of the world, you're disconnected from the states for the most part. You don't really know a lot of what's going on. But when Southern Baptist this past year gave $203.7 million to Lottie Moon, it is the largest Lottie Moon offering in history. When things in America were not very good financially, what that says to your missionaries on the other side of the world is, we are praying for you, we are sponsoring you. The 3,600 missionaries around the world, because of the way you give, we know you pray for us, because you pray before it comes out of your pocket. And I want to tell you, your prayers, God hears and He answers. Please continue to pray for the missionaries as they serve in cultures that are so different than what we've grown up in. And so it is just an awesome opportunity to be your ambassador, to share the gospel, all over the joy of our salvation. We thank you for the way that you have moved in our lives. Through difficult times, you have been faithful. Father, we are a faithless generation. We fail. We are human. But Father, we thank you for the blood of Christ that covers our sins and makes us righteous in your sight. I pray that everything that we do here today will bring you glory and you honor and you alone. I ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, as I began to pray about what God wanted me to share with you this morning, it has been an amazing time, because I've come back to a passage that is just, for me, the Christmas passage. Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. Is He truly the most important gift that you've got? I'd like for us to open Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 8 through 20. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Please sit down. This is the section that we probably, most of us can probably quote it by heart. We've grown up since we were little hearing this story in Sunday school, some of us. Some people, even in America, have never heard the story. I'm surprised that as I am in Greenwood in 96 and other places, meeting people and begin to talk to people, and there's people in who didn't know who Jesus Christ was. I think that things have changed. I think as we read in Revelations how things become to to separate. I can remember when we left, if you were a businessman and you were a Christian, it was a good thing for your business. Now, people don't want to associate their religion with their business because it may cause problems. The IMB Revelation 7, 9 vision is truly, truly being carried out as we have begun to focus on unreached, unengaged people groups. Catrice and I had lived in the Maluku Islands for about 12 years. Prior to that, 1998 to 2001, Christians were systematically being persecuted and killed in the Maluku Islands. This is where we thought God had called us to go and to walk down the beaches on these islands and preach the gospel. And for the first 3 years we were there, we didn't even think, weren't even able to get to the place. As we began to do disaster relief, I actually traveled into Ambon 3 times during the persecution and went out to give aid, educational supplies to parents that are living in the rainforest so they could teach their kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. As we traveled, we began to see believers being killed for their faith. In the middle of Sulawesi, in the Palu area, we began to go in and one night I'm there preaching and the next morning I'm supposed to preach. And in the middle of the night we have to get up and run to the top of a mountain and hide behind rocks because the Lashkar Jihad had come through the village to clean it of any Christians, to kill the infidels. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, they're walking through the village. We're not far enough away that we can still see their lights. On the boat, going to do this, we have boats come out shooting at us, trying to prevent us from traveling to the area. In Sunday school class this morning, I was sharing some of the things that had happened. I said, the safest place for us to be is in the palm of God's hand, in the center of His will. When God calls you, when God tells you to do something, no matter how crazy or stupid or whatever it may sound, if you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking, because there's only one Spirit that can dwell in us. Now, we can quench that Spirit by not spending time in the Word, not spending time in prayer. But when we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, there is no need to fear. I am just like you. There are times I come back and I begin to tell people what happened, and I think, I am stupid. Why wasn't I scared? It's just, it doesn't make sense other than the fact that we have a peace that passes this worldly understanding of what peace is. My goal today is I want us to look at this passage, and that my goal is that when you leave here today, you have 5 different ways that you can tell people about the gift that God has given you. The first gift, Jesus is the gift that casts out fear. We read in verses 8 and 10 about the shepherds and how the angels came and how they were terrified. And the angel said, do not fear. They were greatly afraid. As I began to study this passage, I saw a quote from John Piper. I hate when people do this, but I can't say it any better. It's a natural thing for a sinner to fear. More guilt we have, the more things we fear. Fear is being found out for some little deceit. Fear that some ache we have is God's judgment. Fear of dying and meeting the holy God face to face. But even though it's natural, God sends Jesus with the word, fear not. As a follower of Christ, there is no need to fear. As we look at the scriptures, Jesus said, in Hebrews 2:14, that through death he might destroy him who has power of death, that is the devil, and the deliverer of all those who through fear of death have been held in lifelong bondage. Because of what Jesus has done for me and for you as followers of Christ, death has no hold on us. We know that our death, our life here is only but a moment, and that when we die, we will rise again just as Christ rose again. But we also need to remember, in this world today, I've been listening to popular songs, and it's about God's love and how He loves, and He loves everybody. Hear me clearly. God is a holy and righteous God, and He demands that we be holy and righteous. If you are not a child of God, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you have been sentenced to eternity separated from God. Do you believe that? The reason why I'm asking you, because I know that every one of you, I know that myself, that there are people I know that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, and has it become a priority for us to share the gift of Jesus Christ with them? The season is here for us to talk. We should not fear because of what God has done for us. This Christmas, we need to remember the words of Jesus. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You are more valuable than they, aren't you? You are His creation in the likeness of His Son. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? I tried, it didn't work. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The Apostle Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. When issues come up in our life, and they will come up, they do come up, being a child of God doesn't mean that we will not have problems. Actually, I think the Scripture says the opposite. If you follow me, they will persecute you just as they have persecuted me. When difficulties come, what do we do? Do we take them to the Lord? Or are you like me? Do you try to fix it yourself? Do we find ourselves trying to fix it and then we can't do it, then going, oh Lord, I've made a mess. Help me now. We are supposed to pray never ceasing. Everything we do, let us say with faith this Christmas season, the Lord is the light in my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let the words of the angels to the shepherds be a reminder to you this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ delivers us from our fears. In fact, He delivers us from the greatest fear of all, the fear of death and the judgment of God. Jesus is the gift that casts out fear. Jesus is the gift that brings joy. Luke 2:10, and the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy. The message of Jesus coming and being born as a man is the greatest message that can be told. We were separated from God because of our sin from our birth. There was no way to repent and be restored with God continually. We have temporary offerings, sacrifices that were done. But through that, we saw that none of it was perfect. And then God revealed to us His holiness, His righteousness. And what He required was a perfect sacrifice. Example after example in Scriptures talk about what God did by sending His Son. What Jesus did by being obedient to the Father's commands, to the Father's request. Joy is the state of being in the presence of God. It's dwelling with the Holy Spirit as we walk through this world. Hear me clearly, joy should always be on the face of a Christian. Joy should always be in our hearts. Now, if we talked about being happy, that's another thing. Happiness is situational. Joy is not. This morning as I met with an older Sunday school class, I could see as I talked about what God is doing, I could see the joy in those as we talked about the amazing things that God has done. During this season, there are a lot of people that struggle with depression. They struggle with different things because of what the season has become. For some, it's become materialistic. It becomes a place, a time that is just so confusing and so focusing on getting the right gift for the right person. It becomes a financial drain, putting money aside so that we can buy these gifts for people. When the most important thing about Christmas is Jesus was born. Do we begin to put presents and other cultural what Christmas is ahead of Jesus? Do our kids know that what Christmas is about is Jesus? The greatest gift you can receive is Jesus. There is no other thing that could be valued greater than Jesus. Some get depressed because this is a season we remember lost ones. People who have lost children, people who have lost their parents, people who have lost a spouse, people who have lost a job. There's just things that compound, but it should not rob our joy as followers of Christ. Because Jesus Christ is with us, and no matter what happens, our salvation cannot be taken from us. You are promised eternal life. But these things are real. And how do we deal with them? We deal with them by remembering that we have the greatest gift of all. John 15, 8 through 11. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So, how do we have joy? It's abiding in Christ. I want you to understand one of the things that the IMB has done for us, one of the things that leadership has done for us, has been a focus on prayer. Praying regularly, spending more and more time praying. And we've had lots of different Bible studies together from leadership coming to help us to focus on abiding in Christ. We serve an organization that has over 3,600 missionaries. But I want you to understand, our leadership has done an amazing job of continuing to equip us, encourage us, to hold us accountable to sharing the gospel, to serving, training others. And God is faithful. Keep my commands and I will abide in you. Dwell in the love of God. But like I said earlier, remember, that love that we have is meant for us. It's meant for believers. It's those followers of Christ. Those who are not followers of Christ do not have this joy. It is a gift from God for His people. It is a gift that you can give to someone this season. James 1, 2 through 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and completed, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Paul says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Maybe there's some people here today who need to pray with David this Christmas season. Psalms 51:12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. After all, Christmas is about God's generosity, not ours. Number 3, Jesus is the gift that brings peace. Luke 2:11-14. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This last verse is more accurately translated, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, and peace among men with whom He is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom His favor rests. See, this promise, this glory is specifically for those that are followers of Christ. Do you understand what God has given you, the gift that you have? The gift of joy, the gift of dwelling in the presence of the Almighty, the righteous and holy God? Because the death of Christ, the blood of Christ covers my head and covers my sins, and it is the sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice, that cleanses me and makes me righteous in the presence of God. There is nothing I can do to earn that. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is the gift that brings peace. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Are you holding on to the peace that God has given you in this world where there's so much turmoil? Do you feel the peace of God in your life? I can tell people there are times that as I shared the gospel, as I sat down with the Sultan of Ternate in his palace and talked about who Jesus Christ is, knowing that the law was he could take the machete on his side and cut my head off, because the law states if someone tries to convert you from Islam to any other religion, you have the right to cut their heads off. Here are 21 people named Rizal that is standing on the sides of the wall to protect him, each of them with a machete. And if there's something that they feel that I'm doing that is inappropriate, they could literally kill me right there. It sounds scary when I say it right now. But when God tells you to go and to tell and to be bold, the only thing we should fear is that we would not do as God has called us. I pray that this morning as we are looking at these scriptures and the gifts that Jesus has given us at Christmas, the gift that God has given, that God puts somebody or several people on your heart that you know that you may have the opportunity to share this with this season. As we were living in Ternate, we lived on an active volcano with 50,000 other idiots. It was the center to go anywhere in the province to share the gospel with these unreached, unengaged people groups. I had to go there, and by 10 o'clock in the morning, all the transportation's gone. Boats, ships, planes, all of it leaves in the mornings. I had to drive 5 hours, take a speedboat for an hour to get to this island. I would come the night before. The local people love soccer, so at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're sitting in a coffee shop watching soccer. They said, come, we're going to watch football. It's like, oh, yes, and we get there and it's soccer. No football. But no matter where I showed up to eat or to drink, they immediately got the imam from that area would come and talk to me. Why are you here? Da, 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 da. They knew who I was. We asked to move there when my son was in high school so we would have better internet as he's homeschooling. And immigration said, no, you can't come here. 2 weeks later, immigration calls and says, please move here. 5 imams have come to the immigration office and they're angry that we would not let their pastor move here. If your eyes are open when I pray, you may see me hold my hands out as I pray. Muslims turn their palms up that they will live in submission to God. And it's become a habit that I pray that way because I want to live submitted to God fully. I want God to use me. I want to be able to tell people, God did these things. I can count on my fingers and toes the number of people in 23 years that accepted Christ directly with me. We could fill this place up, maybe all the buildings here, and count fingers and toes and couldn't come up with the number of people that I've seen come to faith. Muslims who have turned from Islam. In the last couple months, in Batam, the last island we lived in, we had gone and shared the gospel in an all-Muslim village. About 6 weeks ago, I have no concept of time anymore. A little while back, a husband and wife, she's pregnant, come to our church plant, accepted Christ. They were baptized. The next week, their family disowned them. He lost his job. They had no place to live. Can you think of a situation more worse? Here, his wife is pregnant. He doesn't have an income. The next Sunday, he comes to church. All the church members are all nervous. They're scared. They don't have a clue how to deal with this. They walked up front, and when they did, got really, really quiet because everybody was scared to death what they were going to say. They said, we want you to know it doesn't matter what happens to us. Jesus Christ died for our sins and we have been saved and we're going to spend eternity with God. This is temporal. This doesn't really matter. New believers who've only known Christ for 2 weeks stand up front and say, it's okay that my family has cast us out. It's okay that I don't have a place to live. It's okay that I have to hunt for a job because my God has conquered death. I shall not fear this world. There is a joy of peace. Jesus is the gift that leads us to worship. The shepherd said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that may come, which the Lord has made known to us. Then as they returned, after they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. The shepherds saw the Savior as a baby. They had been told that he was the Savior of the world. The shepherds were probably the most unclean of occupations. You remember God used David back in the Old Testament and how David was a shepherd? Shepherds' reputation, they're unfaithful, they're untrustworthy. But who did the angels come to? It was not accidental. God came to the lowly, to the poor, to the downtrodden. He came to those who were in financial problems, those who had relationship problems. He came to those who had difficulties and problems. The shepherds have seen the Savior, and they were so excited they had to go out and tell what they had heard and what they had seen. How much more greater should we be excited? We know the whole story. Not only was he born, he lived a sinless life. He died at the hands of man. Death could not hold him. He rose again on the third day. And he sits at the right hand of God, and he will judge mankind. The only way to the Father is through me. Jesus didn't pull any punches. He told you, I am the truth, the way, and the light. God has done something so amazing. There is nothing that can compare to it. I was thinking as I was praying through this about gifts I had gotten at Christmas, and Catrice will tell you my memory's not that great, but I can't remember anything that I thought was wonderful looking back on it. And then as I look at what God has given us in Jesus Christ, he came down from heaven to be a man to show us an example how to live a sinless life. He dwelled with the Father. He abided in the Father. The Holy Spirit is where? Jesus says, I live so that the Comforter may come. Jesus leaves this world so that the Holy Spirit can come and be with us, dwell with us, walk with us. Worship is an outpouring, an outflowing of God's generosity, not of any work that we're doing. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Hear me clearly, God saved me. I am a sinful man. How can I see a holy and righteous God unless he reveals himself to me? This world, I tell people, we went to Indonesia and we were told people that are homosexual, you have to just leave it alone. Then we come back and they go, oh, now you need to tolerate it. And now I come back and I have to accept it as it's okay. The scripture's really clear. There's a verse that said, God abhors homosexuality. If that's not clear enough for you, I can't get there. Every time we would come home, one of the things we would do as a family, well, my daughter and I did it, then my daughter and son did it, and then Catrice jumped in there. We would go to a Braves game. And Katie said, Dad, I want to come up, but is it okay if I'm homosexual? And I said, sure, no problem. We go to the game, we laugh and cut up. She's part of the family. She loves my daughter. She supports my daughter. I love her. That night she looked at me and she said, Pastor, you seem to love me and care for me. You do know that I'm gay, right? And I want you to know that I don't agree with it. It's sin in the sight of God. But I want you to know we love you. In spite of that. For God first loved me, yet while I was a sinner, is it not our responsibility to love those who don't know Him so that they may experience the love that we have gotten from Christ? Do you love me enough? On more than one occasion, I've seen a Muslim come to faith, and their first thing was, I have a friend that's a Christian. Why didn't they tell me this? And I've had Christians come to me and say, a Muslim friend of mine, good friend of mine, my neighbor, we talk every day, spend a lot of time together, came to know Christ and comes and says, why did you not tell me about this great gift? Why have you not taken the risk to tell me about the greatest thing you could ever give me? We see the shepherds respond. It's a heartfelt response. It's not out of obligation. Jesus has saved you. Jesus has showed you that God is holy and righteous, and that He demands to be a follower of Him, you have to be holy and righteous, and that's only possible by accepting the gift of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. That Jesus Christ died. The penalty of sin is death, and since He did not sin, He was not required to die. Jesus gave up His life and took it back up 3 days later so that you and I could know Him as our personal Savior and Lord. I have been amazed at the things that we have seen God do. I could talk for years of stories of how God has moved in mighty ways. But I want you to understand, your missionaries want you to come alongside of them. We've had churches come and get us in places that we couldn't get in otherwise. Church planters. But there are islands they can't go to because Christians aren't allowed there. There's villages you can't literally walk in. In Sumatra near Bengkulu, there's a village. A Christian was driving, his car broke down, he got out to push his car, they cut his hands off because he was standing, his feet was on their holy land, and he was an infidel. I didn't know that until like 2 or 3 months after I'd gone to this village sharing the gospel there. God moves in a mighty ways. Jesus is God's gift to us. Come and see. Go and share. Come seeing, go sharing. It is my prayer that each one of you today, God has put somebody on your mind. When I go to bed at night and my head hits the pillow, I go right to sleep. It's just an immediate thing. If my head hits that pillow and I don't go to sleep, God begins to show me a video of the opportunities of the people He gave for me that day that I failed. That I didn't take the opportunity. I slide out of bed down to my knees and I pray, ask for forgiveness, and ask God to help me the next day. I get back in bed and I go right to sleep. I pray that God will play a video for you to prepare you, to strengthen you, to encourage you of who He wants you to share about Christmas. Jesus is a gift that casts out fear. Jesus is the gift that brings joy. Jesus is the gift that brings peace. Jesus is the gift that leads us to worship. And Jesus is the gift to be shared with others. It is my prayer that this week somebody's going to come up and ask you a question. And your answer is going to be, Jesus is the gift of peace. You're seeking peace, and I know how to help you find peace. True peace only comes in the presence of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You for everything You've done in my life. I can remember as a child sitting in a church much like this with my parents and hearing God speak to me about His holiness and my sinfulness, my rejection of Him, my rejection of the one true God. I can remember before they even did the offering call, before they even called people to come down front to accept Christ, I was out of the pew and I ran down front, knelt down, and prayed and asked God to come into my heart. I did not need anybody else at that point. I had grown up, I had seen it. But Lord, you have been amazing. You have been faithful when I have not. I have failed over and over, and I have come to you on my knees. My son's name is David, because I don't ask him to be perfect. I ask him that when he does rebel against God, that he would fall to his knees and repent and turn back to the Lord. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will use us this coming week, this season, to tell people about the greatest gift they can get this Christmas season. And if they're believers, encourage them. But Lord, we just ask that you would use us to glorify you through our life. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Matt's going to come up front. I'm down here. If there's something that's on your heart and you need to talk with one of us, we're here. We're not going to take a lot of time. I'm going to let Matt decide when we close it out. But we're here to talk with you. The microphone will be turned off. Nobody else is going to hear. But if there's something I can pray for you, you're welcome to come down. We're going to be here. We're going to eat lunch with you, get a chance to talk to you during that time. But if there's anything else we can do for you, we just want to tell you thank you. It's an honor to be your missionary. I have no idea what's going to happen after January. I am who I am. My identity is fixing to change. My wife says, can you start practicing saying I am a former IMB missionary? That is so hard. But I know that God has called me to tell people about Jesus. And so don't know where that's going to be, but I know that he does. And so there's a peace. There's a peace that's there, and I don't understand it.